the information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. This is an opportunity, but it has to do with your health, right? From a non-drug, non-surgical point of view. Let's see if we can make something different and explain the process that you perhaps have gotten yourself into, particularly since it's, you know, a brand new year and all kinds of changes coming up. Don't you need to change? Well, we're going to talk about changes. We're going to talk about what your system should be doing and how to put it together. You know, 'tis the season is over, right? We're into that brand new time of the year. We're getting ready. We've made our resolutions, and I told you it should be commitments. You know, and a commitment different than a resolution is that you actually identify the driver, the prime force that's called you. You know, what can you do to change you, to move, to do the things that you need to get done? So, as time goes on, I want to give you all the little salient pieces that are going to make your life, your task, a whole lot easier moving forward. Had patients this week ask me, you know, well, how do I start out the new year? How do I make things different? You know, and so, and I said, you know, a couple of them actually, I said to them straight up, I said, you know, you asked me the same thing last year. And some of the things that you did for a while, then you dropped them off. And then I got into my, you know, my mantra about, hey, listen, you got to change you. You got to change how you look at things. We talked about affirmations. Anytime I go out and teach young doctors, regardless of what side of the fence that they're on, I try to get them to understand that who they are at this moment in time is perfect. And why that is, and I say that to you as well, who you are at this moment in time is perfect. It's exactly the way it was meant to be. The reason for that absolutely is this. You are. Who you are is you who you are. But it doesn't preclude change. It doesn't preclude making a difference in a shift. You know, 1 degree shift carried continually over a period of time is huge. But you have to make sure that you change. Every day you change something. Every day you recommit to something. You know, nobody goes from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour and doesn't retard. Even a rocket ship has ebbs and flows. Even an airplane going from Washington, D.C. to Hawaii and landing in Maui is going to shift and change, and they have to readapt. So we as human beings have to understand that it's an adaptation process that is not necessarily linear. It's one that goes back and forth, up and down. But as long as you're taking, you know, 3 steps forward and you're losing maybe 1.5, sometimes on a really bad cycle, you might lose 2. You still have a net gain. And that's what we want to do. We want to add to that net gain, and we want to make things better than ever before. We want to make things, you know, so much more productive for you. So it's springtime coming up, and actually in a very, very short period of time. The best time to change your body is now. It's to begin the process in preparation for a brand new you coming up in the spring. And we're going to talk a little bit about the nutritional pieces. We're going to talk a little bit about the emotional pieces. We're going to talk a little bit about the physical pieces that I think you all need to know about. But one of the topics I want to get into today, just a little bit, is simply I want to get into your thyroid and why so many of you are in way big trouble. And because a patient asked me to do it, and so I decided to do it. And I was actually talking to a physician friend of mine the other day, a medical physician who deals in endocrinology. And he said to me, he said, you know, why do you get the results that you get when it comes to thyroid function and changing thyroid hormones and so forth? And how we became friends, by the way, over a period of time is that we had a couple patients in common, and we didn't know each other, hadn't spoken to each other, but he had them on certain meds, and I started doing the thing that I normally do, is, you know, looking at the why behind things, and things began to change and shift. And so we got into this conversation, and I said, look, you can't compartmentalize anything. I look at function. There's pathology, and when there's absolute pathology that where there's, you know, that pathology means that there's tissue that's being identified as being destroyed. At that point, you got to look at it a little differently, but from a functional point of view, when things aren't working the way they're supposed to, the question becomes why. So let's talk about this thyroid hormone, this thyroid thing that can cause all kinds of breakdown and destruction. You know, it's not the deficiency of a hormone like Synthroid that will hurt your thyroid. You know, it's poor lifestyle. It's nutritional choices. And generally across the board, there are other things as well. But remember, this organ, like every other organ, has neurological input. It has energetic input, but it needs certain nutritional pieces, and it's all part of the problem. So when we look at this, when we look at lifestyle nutritional choices, when we look at structural pieces, we look at, you know, how the body exists in space and time, it sets a new record. So I began to explain that piece to this friend of mine, and I actually went and I talked a little bit about some things that were going out on his reading material, particularly something from the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists. And, you know, they said that like 27 million Americans, more than half are due to, you know, that have thyroid problems, have a disorder called Hashimoto's thyroiditis or Hashimoto's disease. You know, the thyroiditis is the piece that they keep dropping off of that definition. And when you look up Hashimoto's disease, it's really an inflammatory reaction in which, you know, the immune system begins to attack and destroy the thyroid. So why is that? How come? What happens with that? Well, too often the question why the thyroid gland quits working never comes up. They don't ask the question why that happened. They just kind of treat it. Instead, you know, all these medications, and there's no advice for planning. And we had this conversation, this doctor friend of mine and myself, and the thyroid gland sits right at the top of your chest, you know, where your chest bone, your breastbone is, you know, that's called your sternum, right where that little notch is. It's about the shape of a bow tie. And it has, by the way, embedded in your thyroid, you may have heard something called the parathyroid glands. The parathyroid glands are these four little round structures, spheres, if you will, that are embedded, one in each of the four lobes of the thyroid, this little butterfly-shaped gland located in the upper part of, you know, your chest at the lower part of your neck. You know, the Greeks named the thyroid gland Theros, and it actually what it means is a shield. And, you know, it's actually pretty right on, because this shield, if you will, actually stretches across the Adam's apple and protects the lower portion of it. And it also shields the body, if you will, from a lot of different things that happen to it, though it, you know, it weighs really little bit. It's about less than an ounce. But it has a huge, huge impact on everything that goes on in the body. Every single muscle, organ, and cell in your body is dependent on adequate thyroid hormone. And if you don't got it, you're in trouble. So we need to understand the why. Why were you born, generally, most often, with good functioning thyroid, and then something happens along the line? Well, the thyroid produces two major hormones, okay? Thyroxine, which everybody calls T4, and then tyrosine, which is T3. So these two hormones work kind of inside the cells of the body, and they produce a heavy influence on just metabolic pathways and metabolism of the cells. So the thyroid hormone helps cell machinery, if you will, your internal mechanism and helps it produce your energy. It's your thermostat in many cases. It causes things to go. Without it, you kind of shut down. So when there's an adequate amount of thyroid hormone, these two guys, T4, T3, and by the way, I'll get into it, but 80% of T4 has to be converted into T3. And it does it primarily in the liver, but other areas, kidney a little bit, intestinal tract a little bit, but mostly in the liver. So when the cell patterns of the body start shutting down, they don't work the way they're supposed to, metabolism slows down and so forth, there's a problem. And we need to ask the question, why? So when there's an inadequate amount of thyroid hormone, we call that hypo and hyper. Hyper is too much, hypo is too low, right? Things don't work the way they're supposed to. It gets sluggish. And the signs and symptoms of that will be very, very present. You know, like, you know, your energy's gone. And by the way, your hair will thin out. Don't look at me because mine's other than thyroid problems. Eyebrows, the outer part of your eyebrow, the outer one third of your eyebrow gets really thin or it's absent. You can always tell somebody who has a thyroid problem because, you know, you take a look at their eyes and it's like, wow, it's missing. You know, hair missing, in that area, the eyelashes. It's not the only cause of this, but eyelashes begin to disappear. There's cysts around the mouth, and, you know, it's like this ongoing acne, but it's not cool. You get constipated. You know, women have problems with fertility. Guys do, too, by the way. We forget about us. You know, it's kind of, you know, women, you know, ladies are the most put upon of all patients, in my opinion, in the healthcare system. Everybody gets to wag their finger at you, and it's not okay because guy, you know, it's like menopause. Well, guys do the same thing. It's called andropause, except we forget about that piece of it. And the symptoms are similar. You know, guy gets, you know, ugly and grouchy and puts on weight and he can't get it off and his brain shuts down and he can't think. You know, women are sitting there saying, yeah, that's my husband. But seriously, so, you know, you get puffiness, you get that round face, you get down in the dumps, you get depressed, anxiousness, anxiety, you know, all those things. Can't think, can't remember. You know, and hormones, you know, just go out the door. But here, we're still talking about this little thyroid gland that controls all that stuff. And unfortunately, in traditional arena, when somebody has or thinks that they have, you know, the doc thinks they have a thyroid problem, they're going to put them on all kinds of things like Synthroid. Well, Synthroid is just T4. And it has to be converted. So if you have a thyroid problem or a thyroid symptom presentation that is due to the inability of your body to convert T4 to T3, then you have issues. You have muscle ache, you kind of weakness, you can't do anything. You know, so that's, you know, on the end of the scope, you got to produce the T4. So we have to look at the whole puzzle, and that's just a little bit. If you go to a doc traditionally, and it's not the doc's fault, it's often the laboratory, which goes to the insurance company, which goes to standard of care. They let the docs only do TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, which, by the way, is not a thyroid hormone. It's a pituitary hormone that stimulates the thyroid. And they do T4, if you're lucky. Sometimes they just do T4. But they don't do the conversion. They don't do the T4 to T3. And then they don't tell you how much is available to work, which is the free T3, and then they don't tell you how much is actually getting into the system, which is uptake. And then there's this little sucker called reverse T3, which shuts down the whole mechanism. So T4 has got to be converted to T3, and that's the biologically active chemical and reaction that takes place, but it conjugates, it changes in the liver. That's where all this takes place, and there's two processes that I won't even get into. One has to do with sulfa, it's called sulfonation, and the other one has to do with sugar and so forth, it's called glucocorticoordination, and we won't even talk about that, but also all this transmission, these target sites and so forth, those other areas, but we're going to get into that. I'm going to try to make it simple because it's important that you understand that you have control, that has to do with your nervous system, has to do with your chemistry, has to do with your stress levels, and believe it or not, even though that you think I'm off on a tangent, I'm not. I'm going to tie it all together for you so you get it, so you understand it, so we can appreciate it together. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, talking a little bit about thyroid function and the why. And we're going to kind of, you know, weave our way through what really, you know, hypothyroidism is and, you know, why the problems are there. We'll talk a little bit about on the other end of it too, hyperactive, and tell you why the majority of thyroid problems are lifestyle. They're about what we do and don't do to ourselves. And unfortunately, you know, we don't pay attention to our bodies and we think that we have to put the symptom out, the fire out. And then if that goes away, everything's cool. Furthest thing from the truth, unfortunately, but nevertheless, we will do that. I'm going to cover that more as we get into the second part of the program. And there's so much I want to talk to you about today. But meanwhile, Andy, thank you for being patient. How can I help you, sir?
Hello, Tom. I was in the hospital at Fair Oaks last month, and they did a CAT scan on me, and a mass was seen in my left lung. My PCP did some analysis on it, and he seems to feel that it's cancer.
Did they do a pathology, you said?
There was no pathology done yet. There's going to be some done on Friday. But between then and the following Sunday, I might be in the hospital, and I might be doing some terrible things to me, so I thought I'd better phone you now.
Okay. Have they done a PET scan?
A PET scan?
Yes. PET scan is a CAT scan where they inject a radioisotope sugar, sucrose, into the body. The reason they do that is that cancer cells, particularly in soft tissue, suck up the sugar. They love sugar. And so that you can see this huge swarm of consolidation of ionized sugar going to these areas. And it's another piece of the diagnostic pattern, you know, doing that and other things. But doing, you know, if it's a cancerous tumor, depends on many different things. You know, obviously the symptoms that are associated with that can be multiple. It can be anything from, you know, you're coughing up, you have bleeding, you have, you know, you're constantly coughing, you can't get rid of the cough. As it progresses, you have other things that go on, from, you know, the even fatigue patterns, and you don't want to eat anymore, and, you know, obviously the breathing patterns are there, but you start hurting, and as it can move through and go into different areas, it can the lung can move into other organ systems, particularly the bones and the liver, and there's symptoms that are associated with that. So we won't get into that, with the exception of letting you know that they do exist. So, but you got to have some definitive outcomes relative to the laboratory to say that it is. There's a lot of things that show up like cancer in the lungs, but once you get into it, it isn't. And does it mean that you're stuck, that there's nothing that you can do? No, there's lots and lots and lots that you can do. Even from a supportive point of view, regardless, medically, what they're going to do is the normal thing is either surgery or surgery in a combination with chemotherapeutics and radiation. They're going to try to stop it. If it's progressed, meaning if it's gone into stage four where it's metastasized into other parts of the body, they're going to suggest chemotherapy. If it's localized, if it's real localized, they may suggest just radiation or radiation combination with surgery. Now, I won't give you my opinion on the air, but I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of things you can do, at least supportively. And that includes everything from diet. Remember one thing, that cancer hates an alkaline body system. It can't grow in an alkalized system. Acupuncture helps. There's low energy light lasers out there. Cancer Centers of America, if you decide to go to traditional route, they're called cancer treatment centers now. They do a lot of different things, including fractionated dose chemotherapeutics, where they don't hit you so hard with all this stuff, and your body has a better chance to recover, but they do it in cooperation and support. And now what they're doing, where they used to do it in-house, now they're referring you out to guys like us that, you know, do acupuncture and nutrition and so forth. There's a lot of things. There's many clinics out there. There's ISO Clinic out in California that can be there. It's a medical clinic that does very avant-garde work. Guided by the name of Stanislaw Brzezinski in Houston, Texas. And he's a medical physician who has His track record for saving lives is huge. There's things out of Canada, and I'm happy to do that. Send me a note at rosellcare.com, and I'll send you a listing of things that you can move forward with and at least do the exploration. So until you actually know, the things that you need to do at this point is begin to take the steps to support your body. Begin to take the steps that will give you the biggest leg up. And regardless of, you know, if it's cancer, there's things that you need to do quickly. If it's not cancer and you've got a tumor in there, a shadow in there, a lymphatic system, then there's things that you need to do immediately. But send me a note. I'll kind of point you in the direction, Andy. But, you know, until we, you know, don't look for the, you know, the zebras, look for the horses first. And, you know, let's see if we can get you the help that you need, both traditional and alternative. Coming up to a break. Hold on.
This is an encore presentation.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell is your host, sitting here waiting to give you as much information as I possibly can. Why? Because you deserve it. You need to make decisions on your own based on information, not what anybody tells you, but based on data, so you can choose correctly. Last caller called about a potential problem with lung cancer, and there's so much that can be done both in and out of the traditional communities, but you have to decide which is the best direction for you. There is a book called The Top 10 Natural Cancer Cures, and it's stuff that nobody's talking about. Anyway, the author is somebody by the name of Danica Collins, and it's available online. I wanted to find out where it was before I said anything, and it is online. And the Top 10 Natural Cancer Cures, no one is talking about. And these cures, as the literature will point out, have saved thousands and thousands of people. So do your own research. Try to find somebody that can help you walk through the weeds. Try to find somebody who, you know, understands these things. Get good nutritional support to do all the natural things that will make a difference, and decide which is your best outcome. And just don't do it because somebody tells you to do it. Do the research. You know, understand what chemotherapeutics is. You know, it's the stuff that they put in your body to destroy the cancer. The whole idea is hopefully, because the cancer is a more susceptible cell than your own cells, that it'll kill the cancer before it kills you. But it's toxic. And there's a couple cancers out there that respond extremely well to that approach, but the majority of them do not. And you have to decide, is dignity worth your application or decision not to, and to do other things? And it's just up to you. It's something that you have to do in conjunction. You know, always ask the practitioner who recommends something to you. Look him straight in the eye, or look her straight in the eye, and say, if you were in my position, what would you do? And don't let them look away from you. Read their body language. If you were in my position, what would you do? And that's the most important thing. You know, it's an incredible situation where, you know, we take everybody's position and their alphabet soup as being they're the prime movers. And so much of what we see in healthcare, regardless of which side of the post that you're on, is standard of care relative to that situation. You know, in our office, we continually try to look at patients from a multidimensional point of view. We look at structure. We look at chemistry. We look at motions. We look at the systems that the body is, whatever situation is being affected, nervous system, blood supply, removal of waste and toxin. We look at energetic platforms and so forth. And what we try to do is we try to treat all of them as simultaneously, if you will, to try to give the body the best leg up. But remember, as I said, there's only three things ultimately that cause anything. One is injury to the nervous system. The other one is biochemical exposures, or things that we also need to eat that we don't, things that we, you know, shouldn't be putting in our body, in chemistries and electromagnetic fields and so forth. And the other piece is, you know, how we think, how we run our brain. You know, the old concept of if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. You know, those are the things that your body responds to. The body doesn't know the difference, by the way, between something that in fact happens to you or that you do, or something that you emotionalize or think about. The effect is the same, absolutely the same. So anyway, there's some good books out there, and, you know, we'll take a little bit more of your questions. There's several of you calling in. I won't ignore you. I want to make sure that we answer your questions adequately and at least put you into the right direction relative to all this. This is an area that we support. We act as the backup team to try to make your body as strong as possible. And once you make the decision of moving forward. Dot, thank you for calling. How can I help you? Appreciate it.
Yes, I'm a cancer survivor, lung cancer. And I have an oncologist who, when I go to him, all I get is a blood test, which he never explains to me. And that's pretty much it. I've never had nutrition advice or anything. I'm very tired. I cough my head off all the time ever since I had surgery.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, and I'm short of breath, and I'm tired.
Doc, how long ago were you diagnosed?
3 years.
And what have they done so far?
Nothing.
Nothing? They just tell you that you got the cancer and they're doing nothing?
Well, as far as any treatment, any advice, nothing. I had CAT scans, you know, and I haven't had one, I guess, for a year and a half. I'm about to have one because I talked to my pulmonary doctor about, you know, I'm thinking about changing doctors.
I think that'd probably be a really good idea on your part.
Yeah.
Dot, do this. Do this. Send me a note. Are you on computer? You know, you have a computer available to you?
I have one available. I'm not on it right now.
Okay, no, not today. But, I mean, send me a note at rosellcare.com, and I will send you 2-3 people that I think may be someone that you should consult with. I mean, obviously, we're there to help you, you know, support the system and can make a difference. But to ignore this is foolhardy. My belief system is that if you take positive actions on anything, that your body can begin to at least give you a quality of life that is better and can give you much more distance, if you will.
You said about diet. I don't want to eat. I don't want to sleep all the time.
I'm sure you do.
I cough all the time. I don't even know what an alkaline diet is.
I know. And that's something that you need to know. An alkaline diet, just generally, is I'll tell you what's acidic. Sugars, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products, things that convert into sugar very quickly. Those are all acidic foods. Meats are acidic. The more mammal the product, the more acidic it is. Dairy is acidic. Vegetables and things that are color, those are alkaline. Avocados are alkaline. Lentils are alkaline. So there's a lot of things that you can do, and there's a lot of product out there that can be useful. At least you need to have that information. Dot, if we can help you, obviously we will, but at least send me a note, and I will give you some people that, both in our community and also in the traditional allopathic community, that have their heads on right when it comes to this kind of stuff. Because for you to sit there, or for them to allow you to sit there and not give you the support mechanisms or the directions that you should, in my opinion, is criminal. So,
yeah, I think so, too.
reach out to me, and I will get you some information. Dot. Please make sure you do it. I appreciate it. Joy, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Thank you. In August of 14, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. They did the PET scan and the whole bit. They did the biopsy of the lung. And they decided that it was too far gone. It had gone to my rib, all my bones. And they couldn't do radiation, any chemo or anything. But they did do a test where I had a gene that would allow me to take Tarceva, which I took for a little over a year. And then I couldn't take it. I had toxicity so bad that, they said it was worse than any chemo. Well, anyhow, I learned on the computer about, the Gerson therapy, so I kind of started that myself, and I kept learning about
Gerson therapy and diet has been around for years, and it's very, very supportive.
Well, it didn't seem to be the right thing for me. About 3 weeks ago, I started the ketogenic diet.
Yep, go ahead.
The reason I'm calling is that I've never missed a day of work. I've had a lot of pain, but I haven't missed any work, and but I need somebody. I tried one doctor to try to do some blood tests. He did a blood test. He wanted to do another PET scan, but my insurance wouldn't pay for it. He could do chiropractic stuff, but he wouldn't touch me without a PET scan. So what I need is somebody to monitor my blood and see how well I'm doing with my nutrition
That's an easy part. Do this, Joy. Again, send me a note at rosellcare.com. I can't give it to you on the air, but I will give you some suggestions and tell you what needs to be done. Stage 4 cancers are obviously much more of a challenge because they've already begun to go other places. They've spread outside the area, spread outside the lung. And, you know, they often get into, you know, the lymphatic system. They go into other organs and the like. So it has to be, in our opinion, it has to be dealt with very supportively. There's no specific pinpoint at that level. But there's some good people out there. I mean, going back to what I suggested earlier, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, they, you know, they do some really good work, and there's some other people out there that are also in the same mode, if you will, of treating this sort of thing. But you still need to be supported, in my opinion, nutritionally. You still need to be supported in a holistic mode, bringing up the energetics, making sure the nervous system is working the way it's supposed to give you the best outcome. But Joy, send me a note and I will get data to you, because for you not to be looked at and monitored properly, but at least given options, is not okay. And unfortunately, you and our last caller are in the same, you're in similar boats, in that nobody is really hand-holding you this, and there's so much thought process in the traditional community, and fortunately not across 100% across the board, but you're getting into people that either don't know what's out there, or this is standard of care. Standard of care is surgery, it's chemotherapeutics, and if that doesn't work, write your will. So, but I, in my belief system, there's so much more that can be done. You have to get your head in a place and make a decision. Joy, get a hold of me. Thank you for calling. I appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. I need to tell a story, and then I'm going to take another call or two. I know we're kind of getting off of the original topic, but you know what? This is far more important. There was a woman that I met many years ago. Her name was Kathy Buckley. Kathy Buckley, many of you may know, is a deaf comic, and about 6 foot tall, and just one of the most enticing people. I met her back in the summer of 1994. And she was telling her story in front of about 1,700 people on stage. It was the days that I was running around the countryside with an energetic crazy guy by the name of Tony Robbins. Kathy Buckley was given a diagnosis of stage 4 metastatic ovarian cancer, and it had already progressed dramatically. They told her that she had less than about 7 months to live. And they told her there was nothing they could do for her if they did chemotherapeutics, that what would happen is, you know, that they may give her another month, maybe two, but the insult to her system, the degradation of her body would be awful. And so she, in front of all these people, said, and she told her story, and I won't insult you with the language, but she said, "Who gives you the freaking right to tell me that I'm going to die? I don't think so." She changed her headspace, and she sought out every alternative method she can. Anyway, she went back to these guys, and this is a story you can look up. Her name's Kathy Buckley. And not only months later did she was still alive, but the cancer was gone. There was no sign of it. Now, I met Kathy 10 years after that diagnosis. So there are things that we can do, but you got to get your headspace right as well as everything else, and not buy into the social hallucination, if you will, of this is the only way. There are other things that are out there. There are other people who are really top shelf, who have capacity, who have another option. It's up to you to decide whether or not you want to grab a hold of that option. 888-630-9625. Kate, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Tom. You were talking about hypothyroidism earlier. I'm a 30-year-old female. I have congenital hypothyroidism, so I've dealt with this my entire life.
Okay.
Just a little bit about my history. I've had good endocrinologists and bad ones. I had a rough time with it when I was younger, and especially in my early 20s, where I wasn't following it carefully at all. I took levothyroxine every other day. I didn't eat well, et cetera, et cetera. I realize now that's why my emotional health was a mess, and how much that little gland really does affect
everything.
When I finally got my act together, I got good insurance. My doctor said the levels were still off. She didn't know how I was even walking. So now I'm on name brand only Synthroid. I'm religious about taking it. But my question is about energy. I take multivitamins. I try to drink, a lot of water. I try to get enough sleep. I'm trying to exercise a couple times a week, but I'm always tired.
Yep.
Is there anything you might recommend or advise?
First you have to get to it's not just going after the energy level. That's treating the symptom. You still have to treat the process. If you're on Synthroid, you're taking T4. T4 now has to be converted to T3 for it to work properly in the body. 80% of T4 must be converted. It's converted in the liver, it's converted a little bit in the intestinal tract, but most of it's converted in the liver. Now, if it doesn't convert, then, or it just converts a little bit, you still have a problem. If you have an inflammatory barrier, think about inflammation as this mist that covers everything, but thick enough that it doesn't allow certain things to get in beyond it into target.
Okay.
And if that is blocking the absorption of T3. Even if you're converting it, it's not going to work. Thyroid itself, sometimes even going back genetically, it's because, you know, you've got your mother's makeup. My mother had a goiter. I have an absence of my left lower lobe of my thyroid. So by definition, years ago, and I started losing hair, which we found out that wasn't the problem, but everybody said, you know, that was the issue, that it was hypothyroid. And the thing that is if you clear the dietary patterns and you get rid of the acidity, the inflammatory reactions, you upregulate the body relative to the things that it needs, like iodine, selenium, bromium, and so forth. There's a tremendous amount of things like that that need to be looked at. Listen, I'm going to talk about, we're coming up to a break. I want you to hold on and listen, and then I'm going to tell you how to get a hold of me, and I will direct you as well. But I have to pay attention to those people who are sponsoring this program, because otherwise Dr. Tom Rozelle Live doesn't exist. We'll be right back after these messages.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday, 12 noon, Eastern Seaboard. You do the math wherever you're at, and we appreciate your listening no matter where you are. Try to do the best we can of giving you the most intimate information, but more importantly, to make you think differently. And that's the important piece, you know, because if you keep doing the same old, you're going to still get the same thing. And for many people, that's not okay. Kate, are you still hanging on?
I am.
Okay, listen, I've got to make this fast. We're at the conclusion of the program. But when a thyroid doesn't work, regardless of what the situation is, you've got to look at the structural chemical pathways, emotional pathways, and so forth. But having said that, in a genetically predisposed thyroid condition, there can be a lot of things from having the same sensitivities that your parents had. Sometimes it has to do with immunological weaknesses. 75 to 80% of your immune system is in your intestinal tract. And if the gut's not working the way it's supposed to, then your immune system is going to be problematic, and you're going to have things like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and which is an autoimmune condition. So, you know, if I was going to give you a broad brush, I'd tell you to do a couple things. You know, you got to heal the gut first. Got to get rid of anything that has to do with grain out of your gut. I mean, no grains whatsoever. Tons and tons of vegetables. You know, essential fatty acids are really paramount in dealing with thyroid function, and they have to be in the right balance of omega-3, 6, and 9. So your EFAs have to be in place. They help in the production of thyroid hormone. Things that would include that in your food would be, you know, like anything that contain borage oil, Indian primrose, black currant seed, things like that, unprocessed nuts. But they have to be supportive to your body. So, I mean, we can go on, but there's things that still can be done. So you have to look at if there's any iodine deficiencies and sensitivities. You have to look at your thyroid working in a way that it's producing hormone, but it's not converting it. Because if your only thing that you're taking is Synthroid, by the way, and if you happen to be sensitive to corn, Synthroid isn't working for you. It's actually long-term making things worse. So
sensitive how to corn?
Allergic. Or toxic.
Okay.
And particularly, you know, in this country now, if the label doesn't say non-GMO organic, you can be mm-hmm. assured that all corn is 100% GMO.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing much more of that. So I don't know your mm-hmm. individual situation, but there's much that can be done. Again, send me a note at rozellecare.com. And I know that you're out in Warrenton. I'll try to do what I can to, you know, to give you some guidelines. And, you know, what I would do at this point, I don't have anywhere near enough time to, you know, to dissect it. But I'm going to give you two books to read and everybody else. There's a guy by the name of David Brownstein. He's a medical physician, and he wrote a book called Overcoming Thyroid Disorders. His second edition of that book, and then a guy by the name of Datis Kazarian. And Datis is somebody, and I know both of these guys. Datis I know very, very well. And he wrote a book, said, Why Do I Still Have Thyroid Problems? Both are excellent in the explanation of why thyroid problems exist. So anyway, check it out, and, you know, send me a note, Kate, at rozellecare.com, and I'll help you as much as I possibly can. A lot of information and not anywhere near, you know, we could have taken each one of those things and we could have talked about it forever, but unfortunately forever is not the confines of the program that we have, and I try to do the best I possibly can, but please reach out. You know, one of my patients asked me, why do we treat the way we treat at the Results Center? Because we treat multidimensionally. We treat in a way that we look at all the pieces and not just neurologically, not, we try to get rid of the toxins out of the body. We try to upregulate the energetic system. We try to get the nervous system to communicate properly. We do it all at one time. That's why we get the results that we've gotten over time. We do some things that are kind of controversial. We do some things, but they're all, they all have data. They all have background. They all have an application. We have 40 years of doing the things that we do. Coming up to a break, unfortunately, way too fast, way too quickly, as it happens every week. But we're here giving you the most opportune information as we can. Love you all. Bye.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO has been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.